So turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 3. And as you're turning there, I doubt if anyone here this morning would dare to deny the effects and the influence of social media on our 21st century world. And wouldn't you agree with me that whether on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or some other social media site, everyone is following someone. Everyone is following someone. The most popular people that are being followed on these social media sites, get this, are being followed by over 100 million followers. That's a lot of followers. 100 million plus followers. So who are these superstars? I asked Google who the most followed people were on Instagram, and here's what I learned. As of January of this year, overall on Instagram, the overall total number of followers on Instagram, 230 million people locked into Instagram. Yeah, 230 million people are following somebody because everybody is following somebody. So, guess which one of those 230.62 million followers has the most followers? Anybody want to throw a name out there? Beyonce, okay. Who? One of the Kardashian girls. The president. Our current president, okay. Those are all really good guesses. Oprah, okay. Oprah actually didn't make the top 10 list. Good. Easy, Frank. Number one, the follower on Instagram who has the most followers as of January of this year is Selena Gomez. Shocking. And she has 132.51 million followers. Are you one of them? Everybody is following someone. Number two, Cristiano Ronaldo. I have no idea who that is. 118.89 million. Huh?
Soccer player.
Soccer player. Okay. Cool. Number two is a soccer player. I figured she was an entertainer. Oh, it's a he. Man, we're off to a great start, aren't we? It's like, man, does this pastor live in a rock or? Well, I live in STEM. That might explain some of the chaos. Number three, Ariana Grande. Is it Grande or Grand? You guys, everybody's following somebody. You're walking right into this. Somebody said Beyonce. Is that how you say it? Beyonce. She's number four. Somebody said she was numero uno. She probably used to be. Somebody else said the lovely Kim Kardashian was at the top. She's number five, 106 million followers. Taylor Swift, six. Kylie Jenner, seven. Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, just under 100 million at 98 million. And then the Bieber, Justin Bieber, 95.83. That's right. Not the Bieber from my generation, but the Bieber. from y'all's generation. But if they would have had Instagram in my generation, Beaver Cleaver probably would have had 100 million. I definitely would have been following Beaver Cleaver. Amen? And Ward. And Wally. So somebody says, well, I'm not Instagram. I'm too old for that. How about Twitter? Lay some Twitter stats on us. Okay. You asked for it. Twitter. Number one follower or the person on Twitter with the most followings. Anybody want to guess at this one? Katy Perry. Yeah, you don't do Twitter? Okay, Katy Perry. Get this. 108,501,055 Twitter followers. Everybody is following somebody. Number two, Bieber was 9 on the other Instagram list. He made number 2. Number 3 on Twitter, Barack Obama. Number 4, Rihanna. Number 5, Taylor Swift. Number 6, Lady Gaga. Number 7, Ellen DeGeneres. Number 8, YouTube. Number 9, the soccer player that everybody knows but me. Number 10, Justin Timberlake. Number 12, Kim Kardashian, Ariana Grande, Britney Spears. Number 14, Selena Gomez. 15, Demi Lovato. 16, CNN Breaking News. 17, Jimmy Fallon. 19, and somebody said Sir Donald. He comes in at 20 on Twitter. Our president, Donald Trump. Now, I want you to juxtapose those staggering numbers of followers with perhaps Raleigh Durham's most popular Christian pastor. Okay? Who would that be? J.D. Greer. No question asked, right? Probably 100 or 10,000 people will hear J.D. preach today at one of their, either at their main campus or one of their, that's a lot of people. So I looked up how many Twitter followers Pastor J.D. has, and I want you to juxtapose Pastor J.D. and the idea that everybody's following somebody with the people that we just listed who have 100 plus million Twitter followers. How many do you think Pastor J.D. has? 1 million? J.D. have 1 million followers? 81,200. Everybody's following somebody. Okay? J.D., 81,200. Selena Gomez, 132 million and some change. Wow. Now that's a whole lot of influence that Pastor J.D. has, but it pales in comparison to Katy Perry's 108 million. Now, lest you erroneously believe that this concept of following others is some radically new 21st century concept, let me remind you of some of God's earliest recorded first century words of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, in the first century, Jesus issued this statement, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Everybody is following somebody. On the heels of that invitation to follow Christ, which was extended to Peter and Andrew. Verse 20 records, immediately they left their nets to follow him. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 24, Matthew records, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after me,'" do you see the concept of following? "If anyone wishes to come after me or follow me, he must deny himself, he must take up his cross and follow me." Well, lest you think, because we know that the disciples did, but lest you think that everyone that heard Jesus' invitation followed suit and followed him, let me remind you of Jesus' words to the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, verse 21. Jesus, speaking to the rich young ruler, said, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come," listen, "follow me." And we recognize that unlike Peter and Andrew and the other disciples, that the scriptures record, but when the young man heard this statement, did he follow Jesus? Shake your head, no. No. The scriptures record that when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving. He went away grieving. Today's text in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17 calls the church to follow his example, the example of Jesus, as well as those who are living in accordance with the blueprint of the Apostle Paul and other church leaders such as Epaphroditus and Timothy. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, if you haven't figured it out, everybody is following somebody. And as I do, I want you to consider these questions. Who are you following? Who are you following? Number two, on the heels of that question, and this is perhaps even more important, where are they leading you? Where are they going? I mean, if you continue to follow them, what is your final destination? Question number three, who's following you? Who's following you? And then on the heels of that, similar to the second question, if they continue to follow you to your ultimate destiny, where will they wind up? Where are you leading those who are following you? Father, we thank you for today's text. We thank you for the opportunity to be here today to recognize that it is human nature to follow, that we are all imitators of others. We certainly recognize that by the social media craze, but we also recognize that this is nothing new, that this idea of people following others goes all the way back to the beginning of time. When Adam and Eve in the garden were following you and the enemy stepped in and said, hey, in essence, don't follow God, come follow me. And on the heels of that issued a whole host of false promises and lies and deception. Well, Lord, we realize that those that we follow have influence over our ultimate destinies. Not only our ultimate destinies, but who we're going to be even here and now, today. Oh Lord, we recognize that the influence of others in our lives, and we also recognize as Christians how important it is that we recognize the influence that we have to influence people for your kingdom who might be following our lead. and our example and our pattern and our blueprint. Lord, it's a sobering subject this morning as we talk about the influence that others have on us as well as the influence and the opportunity that we have, for better or for worse, to influence others. Oh Lord, we pray that as we consider this subject, that You would work mightily and supernaturally in each one of our hearts. And God, that we would be challenged and changed through the proclamation of Your Word. And that God, as we consider this whole idea of being Christ-like, and the essence of being Christ-like, being a follower of Jesus Christ, that Lord, as we follow You and as we follow others that have modeled their life after You, that God, we would indeed be able to grow in our walk with You. And Lord, if You should so unveil or reveal to us any areas of our lives where someone who was following us might be led astray or be encouraged to sin, and I pray, God, that today we would repent of that and that we would consider where those who are following us would ultimately land and end up for eternity. Lord, also, I pray that we would consider who we follow very, very carefully, that we would stop and think about where they're leading us. And Lord, that we, if we're following somebody that is leading us to destruction, that Lord, we would sever our following of them and following after them. And Lord, that we would follow only those who can help us and who can encourage us in our journey with Christ. And so, Lord, as we study this text, I pray that You'll reveal and unveil Your truth to us. And then, God, that You would work mightily to have Your way. I pray that nobody will leave here refusing to allow You to have Your way in our hearts today. And that, God, through our love and through our obedience of You and through recognizing that You only want what's best for us this morning, that we would indeed follow hard after You and after those who are following hard after You. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we've been talking about the overall context of Philippians chapter 3 is Christ-likeness. And we've determined that every Christian's quest or goal is to pursue being like Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And, you know, we value and appreciate the fact that when we think about what it means to be a Christian and what the goal of Christianity is, or what our goal is as individual Christians, that it's not complicated, that it's very simple and very basic. Our goal is to be more like Jesus. And somebody might say, well, wait a minute, aren't you oversimplifying it a little bit, Pastor? What about service, or what about worship? I know worship is a key factor in being a Christian. What about service? What about evangelism? What about giving? What about all those other aspects of Christianity, of being a Christian? And I would say this, that if you are like Jesus, all of those other things will fall into place. For example, let's talk about worship. Has there ever been born unto woman on this earth anyone who worshiped in a way greater than or more biblical than the Lord Jesus Christ? No. Jesus is the ultimate example of worship. Jesus worshiped God in a way that we aspire to worship God. So if we're being like Jesus and we're worshiping God like Jesus, there's no greater way to worship God. Amen? If we're evangelizing like Jesus, we're at the top of our game. If we're loving others like Jesus, we can't love beyond that. He is the consummate example of service, of giving, of love, of worship, of grace, of mercy. When we are being like Jesus, we are indeed fulfilling all of those other areas of the Christian life. And as we pursue Christ's likeness, we are supernaturally transformed through God's Word and through His Spirit into His image. And Paul has been talking about that in this third chapter of Philippians. And then in verses 7 through 19, he says that in our quest to be Christ-like, that it will require some examples to follow, as well as some examples to flee from. Everybody get that? If you're looking for an outline in today's text, verse 17 gives us some examples to follow. Verse 18 gives us some examples to flee from. Examples to follow, examples to flee from. Examples to chase after, patterns, blueprints to follow, to pattern our life after, others that we need to turn and run from. And then in verse 19, he gives us four characteristics of those that we need to flee from. Four characteristics of those that we need to flee from. So he is saying, Paul is saying to follow after him as he follows after Christ. Look at verse 17. But brethren, join. Who's speaking here? Paul. Brethren, a term of endearment, speaking to the church at Philippi. Join in following my example. He's saying, follow me as I follow who? Christ. Christ is the pattern of perfection, but Paul and others are the patterns of the pursuit of that perfection. I want you to get this. Everybody listen carefully. If you've already checked out, I want to draw you back in here because this is very important. Christ is the pattern of perfection. Can I get an amen? Amen? But Paul and other church leaders are the patterns of the pursuit of that perfection. Everybody got that? Let me unpack that a little bit. And Dr. MacArthur, I'm getting this from Dr. John MacArthur and some of his commentary on today's text. And he's the only one that I read that really brought this out, and I thought it was worth bringing to you. But the idea is, I see in Christ what I want to be, but I cannot see in Christ how to get there. Okay? I see in Christ what I ought to be and what I want to be. However, in other words, here's the goal, and Jesus is the goal, and I'm over here, right? And so I got to figure out how to get from where I am, where I'm not completely Christ-like. But that's my goal, is to be Christ-like. And I got to figure out how to get from where I am to where Christ is, realizing that He's the goal. But I can't see through Christ's life how to get there. Why? Listen, because Christ did not follow some path to perfection, did He? Was there ever a time when Christ wasn't perfect? No. So He didn't have a path to perfection. He just what? Was. Amen? And so, if I look at Jesus, I see what I am to be. But if I look at Paul and other Christ-like believers, I can see how to get from where I am to there. Are y'all with me? I can look at their lives and see what they're doing in their pursuit of Christ-likeness, and then I can pattern, because they're further along than me. Amen? And I'm saying, how did they get from where I am to where they are? Because if Christ is the goal and He's here, and let's say the Apostle Paul, how far do you think he got? Let's say this pillar represents Everybody, where they were the day they came to Christ, on the day they got saved. And on that day, everybody began this process. What's the big word, theological word for this process we're in? Sanctification, right? Becoming Christ-like. That's what becoming holy. And let's say this is the end result. This is Jesus. This pillar represents Jesus. And all of us, if you're in Christ today, are somewhere in this continuum. Amen? Some of you may be here. Others of you may have just gotten saved, but maybe you had a little bit of a foundation from childhood and you're right here. Or maybe you had no foundation and you just got born again this morning. And so you're just right here. You're just starting out. And so we're all thinking about, well, listen, if I'm here and let's say Pastor Doug is here, then I could go to Pastor Doug and I'd say, Pastor Doug, when you got saved, you were here. How did you get from here to here? Everybody with me? And Pastor Doug would be able to pour into me. And he would be able to say, well, there were some things that I've learned about becoming Christ-like that I think might help you. And by the way, that is the Christian model and has been from the get-go. That's what making disciples is. You find somebody that's a little further along than you, and you grab hold of their hand. And they help you to get from where you are to where they are, and they've got a hold of somebody else's hand, and then that guy's got a hold of somebody else's because nobody has gotten there yet. Now, you might say, well, the Apostle Paul, he didn't get there. He just said earlier in this verse, not that I have obtained it. He's not there yet. But what he's saying is, listen, follow my example because I can teach you a little bit about how I got a little further than you've gotten. Are y'all with me? So Dr. MacArthur gives this illustration, and it's really a good one. I want to give it to you. He says, if I were to climb a high mountain, and, you know, I put all the gear on and everything else, and my goal was to get to the top of the mountain, and when I was getting ready to begin my ascent, a helicopter came over and dropped a guy off at the top of the mountain. Okay? And so now I'm at the bottom of the mountain, but my quest is to get to the top of the mountain, and there's somebody up there. And that guy begins to yell at me, come on up. I'm looking up there and I'm thinking, well, you know, send the helicopter down, right? I mean, you know, and he's going, no, come on, get your harness, you know, and drive that first stake in. And I'm going, I don't know how to do that. I need somebody to come down here and show me how to climb the mountain. How much good is that guy who's already on the top of the mountain that got dropped off there by a helicopter going to be in informing you and teaching you and training you how to get to the top? Everybody say zero. None. He's not going to be able to help at all. In fact, all he's going to do, I don't know about you, is tick me off. I'm going to be like, you got a lot of nerve. He's going to be, come on, wimp. Put one foot in front of the other. And I'm like, man, send that helicopter down. So what do we need? Well, we need a guy who's ahead of us, who is climbing the path and saying, follow me, I know the way up. Now, wouldn't it make a lot of difference about that time if a very experienced mountain climber shows up? Are y'all with me? And he says, let me show you how to do this. And he tethers himself to you. And then he walks you through the process. And he says, the very first thing you got to do is this. Now we're tracking, amen? I mean, now we're getting somewhere. Now we're climbing the mountain. Now we're making progress. So what I need and what you need is somebody who models the way up, who shows me the process. So what are the kind of things that you and I need help with in our quest towards Christ-likeness? What are some things that you would want to gain from somebody who you're following their pattern towards Christ-likeness? What are some things that you're like, man, I wish that somebody would show me how to, for example, deal with my fallen flesh? I think that would be something that every young Christian could benefit from, don't you? How can I deal with my fallen flesh? I mean, that's Christianity, that's basic Christianity, but I know a lot of Christians who are 20, 30, 40 years in the faith and they haven't learned that yet. They haven't learned how to deal with their fallen flesh. And so that would be very helpful. Another thing that might be helpful is how do I deal with just general struggles in life as a Christian? How do I deal? Anybody here dealing with struggles, lifelong struggles or struggles? We all are. Is anybody mastered how to deal with that? No, I don't think anybody's mastered it, but I think that some are a little further along than others. And I think how we deal with that is important to our Christian witness, don't y'all? I mean, if when we're facing struggles and people at the office know that we're Christian and we're falling apart over our battery was dead that morning, and they're like, really? Are y'all with me? Everybody's following somebody. People are watching you. People are watching me. And people are looking for somebody that they can follow who can lead them to the promised land. How about this one? How do I deal with disappointments? Is that a good one? How about this one? How do I deal with trials? How do I deal with setbacks? How do I deal with pride as a Christian? You know, I've got this pride problem, and I need somebody who's had a pride problem, but who's overcome it through the grace and the power of the living God to teach me how to do that. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Hey, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a go-to person for questions like this that didn't say, man, you lousy scumbag, you hadn't learned how to deal with that yet? But just understood and said, man, and identified and put his arm around you and said, man, I remember what it was like to deal with that dilemma. And just loved and encouraged you and said, here are some, listen, practical ways. That's what we need, amen? Not some esoteric ideas, but some practical ways that we can deal with these things. Do you understand why Paul is admonishing us to find somebody to follow? Do you see how valuable that is? Do you see the value of having somebody to mentor you, to having somebody that you can pattern your life after? I don't know. You know, one of the things that's been proven to be effective in marriages with young Christian couples, a lot of churches have adopted this model that when a couple, Sydney gets married, Sydney's about to get married. they put them with a veteran couple. Y'all like that model? Absolutely. Why is that important? I mean, Sydney and Hunter aren't going to have any issues. Right? How many of you think Sydney and Hunter, we'll take a poll here, will have issues? Even Sydney knows they're going to have it. It's a good thing Hunter's not here. You just put your hand up, Sydney. Dear Hunter, issues are on the horizon. Love, Pastor Mike. But listen, well, let's suppose that we introduce Sydney and Hunter to a couple that's had issues but has learned how to deal with them. And you say, Sydney, Hunter, anytime you have an issue, y'all can call us. We're here for you, day or night. You just pick up the phone and we'll rally around. Would that be valuable? Angel, would that have been valuable for us? We didn't have a whole lot. But you know what? I feel like that you and I are qualified now to pour into some young kids' lives. I feel like that, you know, by the grace of God, we've made it 23 years. Amen. And there's a lot that goes on in 23 years of marriage, for better or for worse. And, you know, I guarantee you, you know, if Sydney came and she said, "Angel, you know, I just don't get Hunter. I whatever it is, I don't want to say too much." But, you know, an Angel says, "Well, you know, let me tell you how I dealt with Mike when he acted that way." Amen. I mean, that's a beautiful model that the Bible is offering up to us. It's a beautiful model, and it will help us if we can follow that. So we're looking at verse 17, where Paul says again, "Brethren, join in following my example." And then he says this, "And observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." So he's admonishing them to follow his example, but also others in the church who are following his example. So there's two different groups of people here. There's him, obviously, "Follow my example," he's saying. But then he's also saying, but if you're not following mine, follow some of these other guys who are following mine. Are y'all with me? And a couple of words that jump out at me in this verse that I want to call your attention to is I'm going to talk about the word "walk" when I get to verse 18. That's a very, very important New Testament word. But he says there, "and observe." And that word "observe" is the word skopeu in the Greek. S-K-O-P-E-W. What does that sound like in English? Skopeku. Scope. Okay, a scope. And so he's saying to scope in on those who are following my example as I'm following Christ's example. Observe them. Scope in on them. Hone in on them. Draw your attention carefully in on them. And then he says, "who walk according to the pattern that you have in us." And through that, we understand that our lives, if I was to follow you around next week, your life would have some sense of a pattern, wouldn't it? You go through this pattern or a system or a blueprint. It's like sewing, you know? How many of you used to sew or still sew, and you sewed a dress and you went to the fabric store and you bought a pattern, right? And you laid that pattern on top of the fabric and then you cut around it, right? And that's what Paul's saying. Follow my pattern. Scope it out. Observe it. And then follow after it. Okay? And as I said in my prayer, that it's part of human nature to be followers. We are by nature imitators. So without a doubt, the world at large is watching each other and they're taking their cues from their heroes. Amen? I mean, especially kids, right? Kids are big time imitators. I mean, they'll find an entertainer, or if they're soccer players, they're probably following what's his name? Thank you. Right? I mean, I guarantee you every 12-year-old kid that plays soccer knows that guy. And he's probably ticked off if he's here today and his pastor doesn't. And he's probably going to come up to me after the service and tell me everything I ever didn't want to know about the dude. Amen? And so as a parent, we only hope Ariana, is that his name? Ronaldo. Is that right? Ronaldo. Is going to lead my son or daughter to the promised land. Amen? And don't we all cringe when we find out our son or daughter is following somebody who's not? Who's a horrible example. Amen? Why does that upset you, Janet, when you know your kids or grandkids are following a horrible example?
Number one, I feel like I taught them better.
Okay.
Number two.
You know they're going to have influence, right? I mean, whoever we're following is going to have an influence over us. Amen? I mean, as parents, we recognize the importance of the kids that are having influence over our kids, right? I mean, it terrifies us when we hear our kids are hanging with somebody that they don't need to be hanging with. Amen? Why? Why does that bother us so badly? Influence. You know, I mean, you are going to be influenced by whoever you're hanging with. Amen? They will influence you. Don't be silly and foolish. And so this verse speaks of who is influencing us and who to follow, okay? Which is those that are further along. Godly people, okay? Godly people who are pursuing Christ-likeness, who have been in the trenches, who have learned a little bit more about what it means to be a follower of Christ than I have. Do you have somebody in mind? Does somebody come to mind when you think about that? Of somebody that, you know, I just think that I wished I could spend time with that person because I think they could help me. And then the other thing that I want to bring out in this portion is what kind of follower would a Christian become if he or she was imitating you? What kind of follower would a Christian become if he or she was patterning their life? They're observing you. They're observing the way you're doing life, your pattern for life. And they're going to reach whatever level of Christ-likeness you have. Where would they be? What would they become? Would we hold out hope of progress? If some young believer in our midst chose to copy the pattern of your life, is there anything you'd rather they didn't see? Or didn't scope out? And you know what I would say to that? I would say, because this is why people shy away from saying follow me, right? What do most people say when somebody says I'm going to follow your example? What do most people say? Do as I say, not as I do, right? Or just, you know what? I'm not comfortable with that. I'd really just as soon you find somebody else to follow, right? Why is that? Right, because we know that if they follow us for any length of time at all, what are they going to see? Failure, right? So do you think that Paul overlooked that when he said find somebody to follow? So what is it then? You know what it is? It's not... The idea is not that you're going to blow it. Everybody knows you're going to blow it. Amen? But the idea is what? How do you respond when you blow it? Right? I mean, how many of you would like to pattern your life after somebody or connect or tether yourself to somebody that could show you how to respond when you blow it? Yeah. Just show me how to get back up, you know, when I fall. Show me how to recover. We call it rebound in the Christian life. How do you rebound? Amen? Do you think Paul could speak to that? Absolutely. I mean, I guarantee you that if we were to talk to the Apostle Paul and ask him, he could say, I can tell you exactly how to do that. Step one, bing. Step two, bing. And so the idea is not you're disqualified the first time you blow it. Then none of us would be qualified. Amen? But it's you know, are the times that we blow it becoming less frequent? Okay? Let's hope so. Is there a pattern towards progression? And are we making progress? And you know, again, if we see areas in our life, if the Lord reveals areas in our life that we would not want somebody to follow that we recognize that would, you know, don't follow that. Because nothing leads like what? Example, right? So, you know, the bottom line is that it's not okay to keep doing what you've been doing that would be leading people astray. That's not okay. As Christians, that we would recognize that we have influence for better or for worse. Amen? So, you know, obviously, the text, the application for the text speaks for itself, doesn't it? That we are to, that part of God's design for discipleship or for Christian growth, which if you're here today, I mean, it's just, if you're a Christian and you're here today, it's understandable. I mean, it's a kind of a given that you want to grow. Amen? I mean, if you're here today and you're like, I have no desire to grow as a Christian. I have no desire. I'm a Christian, but I have no desire to make any progress towards Christ-likeness. I'm not saying you're not a Christian, but I do question whether or not you are truly a Christian. Because I think every Christian, because what happens is, when you become a Christian, the Bible says that you receive the Holy Spirit, okay? That the Holy Spirit tabernacles or sets up a tent inside you. And He begins to have influence on you, right? And so, you know, one of the things one of the ways He's going to influence you is to encourage you to be more like Jesus. That's what He does, by the way. That's His like main MO. It helps you to become more like Jesus. Okay? And so we recognize that it's a given for a Christian to desire Christ-likeness. And what Paul's saying is that you're going to need some help along the way. And that's the basic blueprint for discipleship. It's you know, the way to grow is to connect with somebody who's a little further along than you are. Okay? And then, so it's the idea of Pastor Doug, come here. Eddie, come here. So Pastor Doug is in the lead. This is, you know.
Oh, no.
Okay? In this example, hypothetically speaking, he's further along than Eddie and I. Okay? And so Eddie recognizes that, and Eddie says, you know what? There's some things that I'm dealing with that I just need some help in my Christian walk. And that's just, we all are there.
Absolutely.
Okay? So Eddie takes Pastor Doug's hand, and he's gleaning from Pastor Doug, And then I'm over here and I'm watching Eddie and I'm saying, you know what? Eddie's a little further along than I am. And I think that if I can yoke up with Eddie and tether to him, that he can help me, he can pull me up and help me to get from where I am to where he is, okay? And then the whole time, Pastor Doug's leading further, right? Because Pastor Doug's progressing and we don't have it here, but there's actually somebody else who's ahead of Pastor Doug who's tethered to somebody. Are you with me? That is the picture of Christianity, guys. That's the way God designed it. That we would, and Paul is saying that the way to get there is to follow an example. You know, we follow God's word and then we follow the pattern or the blueprint of somebody who is following God's word and who has learned more than we have about what it means to be a Christian. Amen. And then also, the idea of being that example. Okay? So Eddie doesn't have the luxury of saying, I'm going to grab hold of Pastor Doug, but I'm not going to grab hold of anybody else. Does he? Does he have that luxury? If he claims the name of Christ, he cannot hide in a closet. Hey, it's locked. Stand with me. So can we do business with Jesus this morning? We recognize our need for a pattern. Our need to find somebody who can help us. We recognize that we're not where we ought to be. And that we need somebody to help us. And we also recognize that we have an obligation to help somebody else. Amen? And so that means that we have to inspect ourselves. And that we don't have the luxury of just saying, don't follow my example. You know, that if there's anything in our life that we would be ashamed of, or that we would say, you know what, follow everything but this, then that's what we need to do business with this morning.